Good morning, everyone. I have a special guest in the studio today. His name is Mr. Stan Booker.
Stan B.
Stan B.
Stand by me. Well, power!
People at Sobe call him Stan the Man. You know, he's multi-talented. So, you know, he got the name Stan the Man.
Multi-talented.
Of course. He did the a lot of the sports news and on Sobe.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd like for you to do
sports
is...
Sports director, actually.
Yeah, you were the sports director.
The original sports director.
Okay.
Well, appointed by Chauncey Bailey.
Okay. For those of
through
you...
Chuck Johnson. Of course.
The owner of the... Yeah, of course. Yeah, Chauncey, he was a pretty good man there. He left us too soon. Somebody, see, that's why...
Tragic.
Yeah, that's why
absolutely
I see Oakland turning into Sodom, then turning into Sodom. They're just killing people all out in the open, and they did him in broad daylight.
Under Ron Dellum's watch. Right down the street from City Hall. Horrible.
Shot that man dead.
Horrible.
Didn't make no sense at all.
For nothing.
For nothing. He's a reporter. Of course, if he find information,
over
he's going to report it. You know, I don't know. Look like the Muslims had something to do with it.
I don't know.
Look like the police might have had something, because he was working on several
I don't really know, but I tell you what, what really bothers me is to see us as African-Americans. I'm a black man. I don't call myself an African-American.
You're black?
I'm a black man in America. And what bothers me is to see how we treat each other. And
ooh,
all these other cultures are moving into Oakland and taking over and buying stuff. They're communing together. They've got commerce. They've got family unity. And they're just taking over. At one time back in the 80s, Oakland was 75% black, with a black city council, black mayor, and we've been sold out.
Well, whatever happened is...
And whatever happened...
We're messing it up even more.
And Sobe prophesied that was going to go down.
Yes, if we didn't... And many of the talk show hosts said that if we didn't straighten up...
We didn't straighten up.
You know...
This was going to... And look, you don't have to go to Tijuana... You can go to the Fruitvale District.
That's right.
Yeah. Ain't they fault?
No.
Ain't they fault?
They're doing what they're supposed to do. That's right.
And you know what? I mean, I've seen a woman pushing an ice cream cart, dressed immaculately, treating people with respect and honor.
That's right.
The ice cream truck was immaculate. She was pushing it. She was wearing heels, a long skirt. And she was at work. She was proud to do that.
That's right.
I was like, look at that.
That's right.
I was like, oh, my God.
And we didn't even want to work at McDonald's. And now we're upset because people from other countries have those jobs.
And now we're upset.
That we did. Yeah, we're upset. Yeah. We didn't want to work.
But we want to walk around 40 years old with her pants hanging down below her behind, wearing scarves and white T-shirts and caps like this, smoking weed and getting high and talking shit about each other. Excuse my language.
Excuse your language.
I'm sorry. I get excited.
Okay.
But, yeah, it hurts the heart.
It hurts?
It hurts. And I'm driving a cab now. For the city of Oakland, I'm riding around the whole city, and I'm seeing more black people on the street,
homeless,
pushing carts, homeless, addicted, living in tents than I've ever seen in my entire life. Good men, my age,
mm-hmm,
younger, older, doesn't matter.
Yes, we have a lot of people out there, and this is happening all over this country.
Yes.
Now, what I'm going to talk about, the homeless and the poor, is that the Bible told us we're supposed to do what we can to help if we can help them. I stopped just handing money. If they stop me at an eating place, then I'm going to buy you some food. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I don't know who's taking that money to the dope house.
Right.
You know, it's really sad. So, you know, I do what I can, but I can tell some of them, and you can smell some of them, they own alcohol. And so they'd take my little couple of dollars and go and buy them something to drink rather than eat. I didn't like that, so I stopped giving out money.
Well, the disease of addiction is very prevalent. You can see it everywhere, and we need treatment. We need more facilities to help people. I'm really disappointed in the city of Oakland and the city council and how they've allowed this to happen.
Well, what can they do?
I know.
What can they do? I mean, just put the people, they just move from one place to the other.
I know.
You know.
You think their hands are tied?
Somewhat, especially if we have millions of dollars out there for programs for them to go to drug facilities and they choose not to. That's where I have the problem.
So it's not the city of Oakland's fault?
Not totally.
Not totally?
No.
Okay, you're off the hook for a little bit.
Not totally, you know. And it's not the county's fault, because when I work for Alameda County and I'm trying to service the individuals that were receiving these governmental funds, telling them that this is going to stop. You're going to have to go to school, get some kind of skill, you know, get a job, because in order for you to stay in Oakland, and we said this many years ago, you're going to have a job.
Yeah.
You know, and the county, they pretty much begged the individuals that were on welfare, I'll call it, because the state forced us to do that. They told us to go through each and every one of our cases to see if there was an indication in there somewhere that this person may have a learning disability or something that's preventing them from becoming self-sufficient.
Right.
And so we identified those cases. It was thousands of them.
Oh.
And they were especially invited in to come talk about receiving service, additional services for drug and alcohol and stuff like that.
Horrible disease, by the way.
Really. And
like no other disease.
We got a very poor response, and we knew these people need these services. They chose not to take these services, you know, take advantage of it.
Well, they say that alcoholism and drug addiction is the only disease that tells you you don't have it.
Probably the case.
Yeah.
Because the way
only
we're looking at
people. Only disease in the world that tells you that you don't have a problem.
Yeah.
Everybody else can see it but you.
But you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does that.
It's horrible.
You know, what did who was that said that in that movie? That was that Chris Rock? It keep calling me.
Keep calling me.
And so he had to go and suck on that crack pipe again because it kept calling him. I don't know what's going on here in Oakland.
Yeah.
But with the loss of Soul Beat, we lost a lot of people out there. And
Chuck tried to tell everybody, you better support the station.
That's right.
You better support the station, and we wouldn't do it.
No, we didn't do it at the way we should have, and especially after he died, we should have stepped up and tried to do something to keep that 24-hour station.
Yeah, we should have.
You
but
know.
Who had the money to do that? Somebody had the money to do that.
None of us individually, but I bet you together we could have done it, but
yes.
We have a problem in unity here as African Americans.
All over the country. Now, where did that come from? Does that come from slavery?
Yeah.
It does, doesn't
uh-huh.
it? And we're not that far from slavery. We're not that far.
No, we still have people that are racially against us.
Yeah,
okay.
But we have slave mentalities.
Yeah.
That Willie Lynch thing did a lot to us. It worked.
I
can still see it working today.
You know, I haven't done. I'm thinking about doing a Willie Lynch on the radio as well, because I usually cover it every year.
I met a Jewish family in Atlanta, Georgia, when we were trying to take Soul Beat down there.
Uh-huh.
But I met a Jewish family that they kept taking me to dinner, and they saw the struggles as a black man in America
uh-huh.
that I was going through.
Uh-huh.
They were beautiful people.
Right.
His wife was crying, and he was saying, Stanley, if you weren't black, in America, if you were any other culture, you'd be rich.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because you are who you are, where you come from. And I was going to a black church down there.
Uh-huh.
They would give me a lot of problems.
Okay.
You wouldn't have these issues.
Wouldn't.
He says, and he told me he wouldn't want to be a black man in America for squat. Because he sees the struggle that black men and women go through in this country. And
well, the Jews had it hard, too.
Sure.
But we are at the top.
He personally said that. He said, I wouldn't want to go through that at all.
Right.
He said he watches the struggle with black men in America.
Well, yeah, well, we're still struggling here.
Still struggling.
And we have all kinds of issues. But see, what I want us to do is kind of look at, as black folks in America, let's look at what is it we're doing in our behavior that's causing causing some of the problems.
Can I expand on that?
Sure.
It's an inside job.
Inside job.
It is the divine, the great spirit, which the Indians call the creator.
It's
on the inside of us.
Uh-huh.
We have the same opportunities to tap into that power as anyone else, and
that's
we don't
true.
Do it. I mean, it's not a group, one group of people, or it's not at the pulpit. You know, it's not, if you put your life into what the pastor says and does, you're going to get disappointed because the pastor is human.
That's right.
The bishop is human.
That's right.
You have to go inside. I'm doing this work on myself. See,
that's where it starts. You have to clean yourself up.
When I found out, if they can get you to hate, resent, you know, and stay angry, they won. They beat you because that's going to create turmoil in your own soul. So you're going to walk around pissed off, and you're going to end up doing your own self in.
Right.
They don't have to do anything to you.
Right.
They don't have to do anything to you. You're going to do it to yourself because you're walking around pissed off all the time.
That's
And I'm not preaching because I'm went through that myself.
Yeah, walking time bombs. That's what many African Americans or black people are today.
I'm
walking
still struggling
time.
With that because of being indoctrinated mm-hmm. from history of since I was a kid. Black men that were like this large when you're telling me that you're not going to amount to stuff.
Yes.
And following people that you look up to that really don't care anything about you.
And we do a lot of that.
Because they don't care about themselves.
Yeah, we do a lot of that.
You know, we look down on one another, judge and condemn, and we're walking around angry and always pissed off. Hey, it takes a lot of courage to get up in the morning, take a deep breath, because when you hit that world out there, the energy is weird.
Right.
We might be living in the last days. I don't know. But
we're close.
Yeah,
we have a few more prophecies to have fulfilled, but we're close.
Yeah.
We're close because of what the Bible says is going on right here in our eyes.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do television for my television ministry so
right.
I could prepare people for the court of divine judgment
yes.
and let them know
okay.
where they are having problems at now. And if you don't change it, there's no way you're going to make it to heaven. You're going to be sent to the lake of fire along with Satan and all his comrades. So if you don't believe in this, that's where we have a problem. Yeah, well, it's a lot. You're gonna lose a lot of people.
How about? Oh boy, I'm banking on grace, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, well, grace.
Gosh, good Lord. Yeah, but
grace is there for you.
Yes,
but
grace.
A lot of people don't understand how that works. You have to repent. Whatever you have done, you have to repent those sins and fix whatever damage you have made.
At least try to.
At least try to do the best you can.
Yeah.
See, Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ knows what's in your heart and what's in your mind. They'll know if you did the best you could.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm glad you said that. Because God's thoughts are not like our thoughts, not our ways. And so we really got to trust that. that
he's given us the opportunity. We're in his image. See, a lot of people look at the image as, you know, physical features, how you look. No, it's what's in your heart
right.
and in your mind. That's
exactly.
the image of God that we're supposed to be holding on to. And we're not. You know, Jesus brought love. And are we seeing love out here?
No.
You know,
no,
for the
so
past.
So did the Buddha. The Buddha brought love, too.
Yes.
And, but, and Gandhi.
You
know, it's about love. It's all about love, man.
Martin
Luther Jr. the King.
All about love. You
yeah.
know, Malcolm X, when he came back from Africa, all about
all
love.
All about love. Muhammad Ali.
That's right. All about love.
All about love.
Once you understand what that means, love, and it's agape love is the one.
Oh,
you know, you're supposed to be dealing with. Agape love means that you're not going to do anything to your fellow parishioners or neighbor, stranger, foreigner, whatever the Bible says pertaining to how you used to treat people.
Right.
That's everyone. It didn't leave out anyone.
Yes.
You know, as a matter of fact, Jesus said you're supposed to love your enemy.
So the enemies should become my worthy adversaries.
You can look at it that way.
You can look at it like that.
Just the main thing is if to show your love is you don't do any of those things to people that you know you're not supposed to be doing to them, and you don't want it to be done to you. That's how you're showing love. You're not trying to kill them, steal from them, take whatever it is.
Exactly.
You know, you're not supposed to be doing any of those things.
Wow.
That's what agape love means. You're not going to break any of God's laws against your fellow, against fellow man. But see, we don't get it that way. When we hear love, we start thinking about sex and lust. That and all that stuff when that
Ooh.
Has nothing to do with it.
Boy, that's a real problem, isn't it?
It's a very bad problem
wow.
because a lot of people are committing death penalty sins under the seventh commandment. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, covers all sexual sins. So, you know, fornication, having sex without being married and all that stuff, that's a sin.
Yikes!
But fornication by itself don't necessarily carry a death penalty.
Right.
But there are other forms of fornications that do carry death penalties. I kind of covered the death penalty crimes a little bit. I'm still going through the Bible as time goes. But over the past month or so, Stan, I've been dealing with, you know, people with low self-esteem, the levels of learning, the levels of maturity, the change cycle. I've been covering this because I wanted people to think about it. Do you fall in any of these categories?
Well, you're helping me right now.
You know.
Probably helping somebody else out there, too.
Well, I'll give you the handouts as well. Make sure I get you some handouts. I'm going to put them on the web page. It's just basically my notes of what I've covered, so they'll be able to read it and hear the programming as many times they want and take notes if they want to. But I've been covering love, and I started it from a city council. Because of a city council meeting, Oakland wanted to make, the city council wanted to make the motto for Oakland is love life, okay?
Mm.
They had a problem with two council members that didn't want the city to say love life.
Which one?
Yeah, there were two,
which
a male
one?
And a female. They didn't want it. And
what?
The people were out there from the community saying they wanted this. Yeah, the people wanted it. And
you guys are fired.
I was so glad to see that the city council voted.
And fired.
It was only two people. You know, they had enough. To
out of here.
So, you know, now we're going to have signs like when you're entering Oakland and, you know, big signs that you see, it's going to say you're now entering Oakland. Love life, you know. And you know, we have to do something because we're killing each other. That's not love.
Well, yeah, oh, my God. East Oakland. Let's talk about East Oakland.
That's where we are right now. We're right
in. Oh, my God.
Smack dab in East Oakland.
What are we doing? You know, Oakland's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
We're living in paradise. Look at the mountains.
That's right.
Look at the parks. I mean, look at how we're down here. We're all confused. It's bad energy. It's people are running over. It's crazy.
It is.
Everybody, me first.
That's right.
It's crazy. I'm like, well, this is my. What are they doing? What happened to Oakland? What happened?
I don't know. It happened right in front of my face.
Oh, my God. You can't even drive. You can't even move. And no one's obeying any traffic rules. It's insane. You drive down International Boulevard, it's almost like demolition derby.
Yeah.
And no cops nowhere.
And just yesterday, coming down, I wasn't on.
Every now and then they show up.
I was on Foothill just yesterday. I had just crossed one of the lights. I can't remember where it is. Then all of a sudden, this car got in the middle of the street where the lights on were just going around in circles fast. You could smell the rubber burning.
It's nuts.
Just crazy. They just take this little car and just going around in circles, and I was told
y'all better watch out because Donald Trump is gonna be president. Watch, y'all better watch out. You think
put it this way: if he becomes president, the poor on welfare, might get rid of the whole program.
Let me tell you, this is gonna change. Watch,
he's gonna change the whole thing around.
Listen, they on Hillary's case. Hillary and Bill are doing some real crazy backstabbing stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
Okay.
It's coming out. Everything's coming out. It's like, oh, my God. So you got corrupt.
Him over here.
Corrupt over here. And he's crazy and like, oh, my. You better find God.
I suggest you do.
Find him now.
Yeah, we got to pray on a
find
whole
him now.
Bunch of stuff.
A whole bunch of stuff, because this is off the hook.
It is.
This is off the hook. I'm 65. I work 7 days a week. I still can't pay my bills.
You ain't by yourself.
I know. I'm like a whole bunch of folks out here. This is crazy. So, I mean, and you think they really care about you? You think they really care? Do you think that they... Oh, by the way, we're not going to have another black president ever.
Well, maybe not.
I don't think we're ever going to. Boy, they can't stand Obama.
Well, I can see why a lot of people would not like him. But
yeah,
I happen to understand he had to make some changes for the best.
But he hasn't visited any black country or nation, as far as I know.
He's visiting
every other culture, but he hasn't been to the hood.
Oh, he's been to the hood. You just don't. He's been over here in Oakland, and he's been to San Francisco. He, for a brief minute.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, he did. He came down.
For a second?
Yeah, he was here for a minute.
Went through like, woo.
Would you blame him? Would you blame him?
No, I don't blame him.
Please.
Sorry, Mr. President. I know you've done a lot. And they didn't want him to make it anyway.
That's true.
They did not want him to be successful anyway.
Anybody that know anything about this country, any president that comes in office is coming in with a mess.
Oh, sure.
And you expect a miracle to happen mess. It's not. They have to do the best they can during the time that they're in office. That's the best that they can do.
That's the best they can do.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, that's kind of like an inside-outside issue, but the inside job is like this community.
Yeah.
How are we going to clean up this community?
That's right.
And this probably starts with oneself.
And at home with the children. and at home with the children, because our children, pretty much all of the talk show hosts told the parents, get your children out of the streets. And we're talking about, we've had young children in elementary school dealing drugs. And of course, if they're still in that lifestyle, when they're teenagers, they're still doing it. And that's when you end up dead a lot of times out there in the world. We told them to get the kids out of the streets, because if they don't kill each other, the police is going to kill you.
Okay? Repent. Repent.
Okay? The police is going to do it. Before you shoot them, they're going to shoot you.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom line, because
we're
outgunning the police. The police got pop guns, and these kids got spray guns. They're spraying bullets everywhere.
What would you do if you were a cop? Would you walk around, you know, like unprotected?
No way. And then you better not move. If I say be still and you move, I'm shooting, because I don't know what you're coming up with.
This is not the Andy Griffith Show, Andy and Mayberry.
Uh-uh.
You know, this is the wild, wild West, wild, wild East.
Yeah, they're just shooting at everything.
People are stressed out. People are hungry. They're angry. They're lonely. They're tired. If you have a felony, you can't even get food stamps. You know,
the whole thing is...
The whole system is just, oh, my
before
God.
Before it got to
vote.
That, before it got into you having a police record and receiving public assistance, before it got into that, they were warned.
Right.
They were... most of the folks on SoBeat, let's get to SoBeat and the talk show hosts that gave out all of this information.
I was one.
That's right. And somehow we didn't listen to ourselves.
Yeah.
Talk about your talk show and what you did on SoBeat. And how long have you, like I said, you were with SoBeat from the beginning almost.
From the beginning almost.
Yes.
Well, actually, I was the original, the semi-original SoBeat. Al Ballard was the original SoBeat.
Oh, yeah, he's the oldest. Yeah, Al Ballard.
Al Ballard, baby!
I heard he was sick.
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
I've been trying to find him because I wanted to interview him as well.
Yeah, Al Ballard was the original SoBeat. And I came in after he did.
Okay.
Because he was with Chuck in L.A.
Okay, yeah.
And wherever else they started at. About 1980. Yeah.
I didn't come on board until the latter 90s, like 97 or something like that. I didn't come on.
On and off for 30 years. I had several shows, 3 or 4 TV shows with him.
Okay, and talk a little bit about your shows. What were they about?
Well, I had Stan the Record Man.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Stan the Record Man. Then I had All Night Sports Madness. It was up all night long.
Yeah, you and Billy.
Call in.
All
and stuff.
Night.
And then we moved from Eastmont to that little makeshift studio over there on Foothill Boulevard.
Okay, yeah, we call that the Bunker.
The Bunker.
The
All Night Sports Madness. Then I had the Stan P Show. And then I had, I was the sports director with, the news
with Chauncey.
Team.
Yeah,
with
the
Chauncey.
News team.
Yeah, so I was side by side.
Okay.
With Chauncey. And, gosh, that hurt. Oh, God. Anyway. Yeah, so I did a lot of film work, shooting, camera work, and whatever else Chuck needed to be done. You know?
I
was co-hosting shows with Derek Nesbitt.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
we
were covering the Warriors. We missed the championship, though.
Uh-huh.
But we were covering the Warriors, the A's, the Giants, and the Raiders. We were in the locker rooms.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
We were getting all the interviews. I've interviewed we got Adamo Foyle, and he's on the news after the NBA's
right.
commentator, man.
Right.
We had a lot of people, Charles Barkley, we did Bobby Bonds, Barry Bonds. We had them all, you know.
Yeah, I miss SoBeat. I really do miss SoBeat because we kept in touch with each other. Now, we just had an election here last month. And usually on SoBeat, we would have someone come on and explain all the, if we had, things that need to be talked about. Who are these people, and what are these measures that they're talking about, you know? And they would explain it to us, because sometimes we didn't really understand stuff. So, and now we just left out there in the cold, and we're not doing anything.
No.
I don't know how many African-American people are registered to vote and are actually voting, but I don't think it's that high.
Okay. Well,
and I will find out, because it's public record. They'll give you the who voted by block. You don't give your names or anything, but they'll tell you by
the street. We're mostly, what I'm seeing in the cab picking up people is that blacks are really tired.
They've been beat down.
We're beat down.
Mm-hmm. We gave up.
We deserve reparations more than anybody else I can think of. I mean, they don't have to do it by check either. There's plenty of other ways they can do that.
They can do just the same as the Indians. Put it out there where you can get the money for certain services or whatever, but you got to go ask for it.
Yeah.
You got to prepare for it. You have to.
Nobody's talking about it anymore, reparations, because the country causes damage. It causes damage through slavery. It's been going on, passed on generation after generation after generation after generation.
We hate
and I see the same thing.
Kind. Yeah. We hate self-kind.
Yeah.
We were
and
taught
and
to do that.
And it's about, and it's economics, too. It's economics, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's all the above. But if you don't have the basics to live, you know, decent housing, clothing, shelter, food, even decent transportation, the things that you actually need to survive in the United States of America, so you can feel like, hey, I'm worth of something, you know? It's because if you don't, the media, the corporations, the television commercial says, if you don't have this, you ain't crap.
That's right.
And if you don't have some sort of inside fortitude or some group, a spiritual group, some church, some organization that's going to get you spiritually and mentally prepared to not bow down to that lie.
That's
a lie.
That's right.
That's a lie, man, because I ain't got no money, but I'm rich, baby.
And it comes from inside.
And it comes from inside,
your heart right there.
I'm not want what you got. I mean, look. You can't take none of that material crazy stuff with you.
That's right.
I mean, look, we lost Michael. We lost Prince. We lost Whitney. They had everything in the world that the world had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
They dead. Overdose on drugs. Mm-hmm. All three of them.
Uh-huh.
All three of them.
Prescription plus otherwise drugs together.
Yes. Means nothing. All that fame and fortune and you're so wonderful and I'm God and you're down there. That's BS.
Right.
Don't you fall for that, man. I mean, because I fell for it, too. That's why I went off of TV and got out of the entertainment business. I need to get it. I needed to
get
right.
Yourself.
I needed to get right. I started studying Buddhism and started chanting so I could get centered with the God self.
Okay.
I needed to do that. I even got away from the Bible and the scriptures, and I came full circle and right back to, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. You know what I'm saying? Because I needed to get centered. Oh, wow, because Jesus Christ studied everything.
That's right.
He knew it all.
Uh-huh.
He was the Son of God. He was God with us.
That's right.
So I had to come full circle, and then I had to forgive everybody in my past.
That's right. You got to forgive them.
Everybody.
That's the number one thing. Love and forgiveness
of
all your sins.
Everybody, because you know why? I want to be forgiven myself.
That's right. That's right.
Because I've done some bad stuff, too.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I don't want to look at your defects of character. I got to clean up mine.
And that's what this whole programming is about, getting individuals to look at themselves and see what is it that they could do to make things better, as well as what is it that you're doing that's messing up stuff.
Yes.
You have to look at yourself.
Yes.
And we, as black people here in Oakland, we're not looking at nothing. Just yesterday,
we want to get high.
I learned something.
Let's get high.
I learned
get
something.
High. I don't want to feel all that reality and all that pain.
Over on International Boulevard?
It's with you in the morning when you wake up, more so.
Mm-hmm. Over there on International Boulevard? Over in front of that National Store, that's what they get. It used to be the National Dollar Store many years ago. They have the parking, you know, the new parking where you park and go to the machine and then bring the ticket back to your car so they mm-hmm. know you pay for your parking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what those Hispanic or Spanish-speaking Mexicans or whatever they want to call themselves have done, but they taking care of their family. You have the meters there, the money meters there are different than the meters from downtown or any other places around that.
Are you talking about the Fruitvale District?
I'm talking about, yeah, that's Fruitvale International area mm-hmm. up in there. Those meters are $1 an hour.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
And you know that's not, you get 7 minutes for a quarter.
Ignacio Don Fuente is a city council person over there, right?
He's taking care of his people.
Taking care of business.
Yeah, he's taking care of his people. He on the council. They done voted him in. He better do that.
Taking care of business.
That's right. And these are things that anybody could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody could have done the same thing that they did in their community where, you know.
Well, like I said, we're too busy walking around doing this.
The hat on the side.
Trying to be cool, you know what I'm saying? and putting each other down.
And can't read or write.
And crabbing the barrels and ain't getting nothing out of it.
That's it.
Nothing but an ego trip.
That's right.
No money, no extra money in your pocket, no car, no nothing. You're not just so I can feel better about myself,
mm-hmm.
so I can make you that. Oh,
that's a sin. And a lot of people don't realize that. When you're downing other people to make yourself look good, you're in violation of God's law.
Oh, wait a minute. There really is a supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
There really is a supreme being. We're riding on a planet. Sun, moon, and stars right in front of it. You can look up. Is that why people are drinking? Because they don't want to see that?
Well, you know, I've been hearing it for years.
No human being made that.
I've been hearing for years that a lot of people that use drugs is because they're trying to get away from things. They don't want to.
Well, of course.
And I've been hearing it, but I've only heard one person actually tell me that they didn't care whether they died or not. Now, they've changed now since then. But they didn't care whether they died or not. They were smoking that crack.
Because you can't live in paradise without a spiritual connection. You can't live on this planet happy, joyous, and free, struggling day in and day out, worrying about bills, worrying about this, worrying about that. That's always going to be something.
It's always going to be something.
Always going to be something. I mean, the devil and the evilness is going to make sure it's always going to be something.
The devil very busy.
Always going to be something. But over what? You're going to lose your soul over some material?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to hurt somebody behind $20? Yeah.
We're stuck on consumerism, okay?
Yeah.
We want to spend money and buy all the things so you can look good, a nice car.
Sure, $500 for rims, each rim that you can't even see when you drive.
That's some spending ones.
That's insanity.
It is. That doesn't make sense.
I want to look good.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And then hurting each other behind relationships why are you looking at him? Why are you looking at her? What is wrong with us?
I don't know. I was too through, though. Let me tell you this story, Stan. When I was working for the welfare department, there were three women there at the welfare department coming there for some reason to see their work or what have you. You know, that means that they're receiving the money, the food stamps, the Medi-Cal. These three women found out that they had a baby by the same man. And they want to fight all up in the welfare department each other.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize that he ain't paying for none of these kids.
None of them.
You getting welfare for all of them, but y'all want to fight each other. Because he's the father. That just didn't make no sense to me at all.
Everybody needs a 12-step program of some sort.
Regardless of what the problem is.
Man, I'm telling you, man. It's like, all right.
Hello, caller.
Hello there. Good morning. How are you doing today? It's JJ.
Hi, JJ.
How you doing?
I'm sitting here with Stan the Man.
Hi, Stan.
JJ.
How are you doing, Stan? I will be calling you after today.
Why?
Say hi and catch up. We got a lot of catching up to do.
Oh, you talking to Stan?
Oh, she's talking. She said she's going to call me.
Oh, okay.
Moi.
Yeah.
Moi. JJ started the news.
Yes, she said that when I interviewed her a few weeks ago. And, she did.
JJ,
you got some news for us?
Yes, I got some real good news. Let's start off with Cat Williams. Now, I know all of you guys are familiar with Cat Williams, but he says that he is going to stop doing comedy. Now, he has said this before, and we haven't seen him leave yet, but he is interested in stop doing comedy. And regarding his alleged drug abuse, let me tell you what he says. He says that anyone that thinks that he is a drug user that they need to hang out with a couple of crackheads so that they can compare him to them and see who is actually the crackhead.
He got a job. He got a job. See, these crackheads around here don't have a job. And even when they started dealing, they started using their own product. And see, now they don't have a job.
Well, he emphatically denies the fact that he uses drugs. And like I said, he said, you guys need to hang out with a couple of crackheads so you can make the comparison.
Well, the comedy part,
I'm sorry?
The comedy part I'm having a problem with because I like him. I don't too much care for him as a stand-up comedian because of some of the words that he used.
I like him.
But I like him in certain movies. I liked him in fact, there's three movies I liked him in. And First Sunday, he like stole the whole movie as far as I was concerned. But,
Well, you know, that's how Kat and I are good friends, in case you didn't know. We were in a movie together. I'm not going to say how long ago, but we were in a movie together, and it was produced by E-40, and the name of the movie is called Obstacle. So you can see me and Kat in Obstacles. You guys go out to the video store and rent it and check it out.
So you guys real, real close?
Obstacles.
We're close enough.
Can I get a couple of hundred down?
Let's move on to the next little tidbit I got. Tamar Braxton. You guys may be familiar with Tamar Braxton. She is the sister of Toni Braxton, and I'm sure that some of you may have watched the Braxtons on television. Now, according to confidential sources, that Tamar, she is expecting her first child. Now, it was, and it was rumored, or I guess maybe confirmed, that she was barren. She couldn't have any children. But according to my sources, Tamar underwent an in vitro fertilization procedure in order for her to her and her husband to have this child. Now, with other news with her, first of all, there's no date impending for the birth of this child. So,
okay.
So, you know, I will say, you know, congratulations to Tamar and her husband.
Back with
also,
us on that.
For all of those who don't know, if you don't know, Tamar Braxton was fired from The Real.
I heard that myself.
Yeah,
what?
She was fired
I heard that she was no longer going to be there. Yeah.
Fired for what?
Yeah, well, she was fired. According to my sources, the show, The Real, took a survey to find out how, you know, each one of the members is, you know, progressing in the community, you know, on the television. And according to the poll results, most people did not like Tamar Braxton. And I must agree with that because I don't like her either. Okay? However,
she has a different personality. Now, what I like about it, her personality from all the other girls, and there's a difference, it's a blend, but she did have she has a different personality. She's wild.
Yeah, I called her ghetto. She is very ghetto. I have always been turned off by her persona, by her television persona. I've always been turned off by her persona.
It's her money.
But so in case you don't look for Tamar Braxton on The Real anymore, y'all, because she's not going to be there.
Oh, she's for money.
Oh, I don't think she's going to have a problem because she sings and do things too.
So, yeah, she's always been in the shadow of Tony, I think, I personally think. Okay, guess what last little tidbit news I got right now? Guess, now this was reported on TMZ. And
okay.
It, yes, and according to TMZ, let's see, after 150 years, Jack Daniels, and this is their anniversary of their 150th year, that Jack Daniels has finally revealed that a slave was behind the world-famous recipe of America's most popular whiskey. Now, until now, the story was, the story was a white moonshine distiller by the name of Dan Call. He was taught to make this, you know, the whiskey. Now, it also appears that the brand, which is Jack Daniels, is finally ready to embrace its controversial history after it was revealed that not Dan Call, but one of Call's slaves, and his name was Nearest Green. He is the gentleman, the black man, who passed on his distilling experience to Daniel. Now, the story goes that this man, Nearest, his name was Nearest Green, gave the recipe to his slave owner, and the slave owner took it and bottled the whiskey, and that's how we know Jack Daniels. But they, like I said, after 150 years, they are finally acknowledging that Jack Daniels was created by a black slave by the name of Nearest Green.
Okay.
So that, yeah, so that is, and as a fan of Jack Daniels whiskey, I am elated to find out that after all this time that a black man actually created the recipe for Jack Daniels.
Well, I mean, okay. That's really not surprising, though.
I mean, what else could they do? You know, they were enslaved, and after they knocked off, they had to have a little.
We were just talking about reparations, too, for man, that
kind had to have a little whiskey.
They owe us. If they're in a black person in America that owes the government a dime, we don't owe them nothing. They owe us.
Well, we got to collect, and unless we start acting like we got like
they
we're supposed
owe
to,
us.
We won't be collecting
they do.
Anything.
They owe us.
Well, it's almost time for us to close. JJ?
Okay. Yes, 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 I am here. Well, you know, of course, I enjoyed today's call in, and I want to say to Stan, you know, you are still the man, Stan.
Look out for the YouTube show, Stan Stab, coming your way very shortly.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to wrap it up now. And, you know, you guys have to remember, if the stars have something to say, you're supposed to get it from who? Me, JJ. All right, then. I will be back with you all next Saturday, same time.
Okay.
So I will speak with you both later.
Okay.
Bye-bye, sweetie.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Stan, briefly, because we only have a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Briefly, tell us about your cab show that you're doing, and it's going to be on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm riding around in Oakland in the cab. I'm talking to customers, and I'm filming homeless that are on the street. It hurts the heart. And it's just giving you a visual view of what's happened, because West Oakland is now, it's predominantly... It's becoming, Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
And the blacks are on the streets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's,
know who to fault.
Who got the money? I mean, who got the money? It's like, who's got the money?
We got to follow the money. When the money comes to Oakland, we do not participate. And when it comes to Oakland,
the way we're supposed to.
Follow the money.
Boy, what can I say? Anyway.
Well, anyway.
God bless you.
We're
going to
close
Love
this
you.
Out. Yeah, we're going to close this out. And we'll be hearing more from Stan every week, giving us a report on sports or whatever, just like JJ on the news on the stars and stuff.
Most people in Oakland think the NBA finals were fixed. And they made it an uphill climb for the Warriors to win back-to-back, and they wanted LeBron to win.
Okay, is that the way it is?
That's the way most people in the Bay Area feel.
I don't know. But anyway, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, the people that I talk to anyway.
Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.